4, is that LK Mobile?
Good evening, 0TR.
Nice to hear you this evening. I didn't hear you call out. I've been driving for a while, but I was listening to the radio, commercial radio.
I was going to, but Bernice came down here with some homemade apple strudel and homemade ice cream, and, well, you know where you stand.
Back at the back of the line on that one.
Yeah, she's smiling over there. I just finished it up and I ate too much, but I don't think you feel sorry for me.
No, you did that to yourself. And I do it to myself too, if it's good. I'm waiting for a scratch and sniff ham radio.
That's not a bad idea. Well, just call up the government and have them do it with AI.
Slow scan, scratch and sniff. I'd be fine with that.
Do slow scan. I did back in Kansas for a while, and it was fun. It is slow, but it was fun. That was back before internet. And guys would go on vacations and send those pictures back. And propagation's real good back then. It was a lot of fun.
Having a Commodore 64 computer back in the 80s. And we had a modem, and you could plug the telephone line into it and call to the library. And you could read message boards and some other stuff. There was a couple games you could play. That was a really, really big time back then.
That computer's probably worth a lot of money now if you still had it.
I have no idea what happened to it. It was fun. We used to get these computer magazines, and they'd have programs in the back of it that you could type in, and it'd be some kind of game or something, and you could type in the program and then play the game afterwards. And I guess I should have, if I'd have thought, if I'd have had any idea of how it was going to go, I would have paid a little more attention to the programming and stuff. I know it's a lot different now than what it was, but it could have got me started better. I enjoyed it when I was doing it, but I never thought it would be a career or anything like that.
Yeah, basic or something like that. I just never did have an interest in it, Shane, but my Air Force buddy is still up in Kansas. I think he's used a floppy disk or something, but yeah, he's the one that got me doing it. All I had to do is find the frequency, and go there. And I don't remember how I done it, actually. But you got fairly good resolution out of it. It was a lot of fun. Kind of noisy, if I remember right. And they always frequent in around the same frequencies on 20 meters a lot. I don't know if it was 14 to 47 or something like that.
Seen a couple of videos through the years of that process, and I remember reading about it, but I have never participated in it. So, excuse me, by the time I got into ham radio enough to really do it, we were long past slow scan TV. We were, internet and computers, and not long after that, FaceTiming, seeing each other while you're talking on the phone.
Oh, back then we had mTOR, BackTOR, gTOR, Packet, PS32, I think it was, or something like that, which I never used that one, or the other ones, but they were out there for a while on ham radio.
Available. I enjoyed voice, and when I first got into it, I was young, newly married. You know how that is. Ham radio is not a priority at that point. So I just had a little VHF radio, and that's kind of what I stuck to, was just voice communications.
Didn't done Packet, but I did it on a handy talkie. It's an external antenna, and my buddy was a computer nerd. And he set it up for me, and I forget what you had to have to do that with, something. But we would talk over quite a bit, and then we went to Instant Messenger. Now, I like that, just because I could be communicating with my friends on Instant Messenger, and we'd be talking about ham radio stuff.
Now my little granddaughters, they don't even make phone calls. They just want to FaceTime. They don't even understand. I mean, it's their norm now. They pick up a phone and, well, they like to hold it, but they don't ask to make a phone call. They want to see the video. They want to see you as they're talking to you.
Yeah, our granddaughter called one night, a couple of years ago, and Bernice didn't know anything about that, and she had my phone in her hand, and I came walking out of the shower, and I hollered, I said, "Don't point that thing at me." Thankfully, she did.
Your granddaughter's life there. It's guard for life. Speaking of granddaughters, my little granddaughter, they took the breathing tube out of her today. And she got a picture of her in her mom's arms again today, so that was nice. They're weaning her off the sedation, so she's a lot more fussy, obviously. Probably like a normal baby, but they're trying to gauge how much pain she might still be in from the two surgeries.
Beautiful, Shane. I just can't imagine what would be in a child's brain regarding pain and how they could convey that. I guess by hollering, but just totally amazing. You're hearing the FBI in the background. Bernice is watching the FBI over here. I'd rather have one life below zero, but this is her night.
FCC's probably monitoring us too there, Tom. Just kidding. I know when she was first born, I mean, before they realized she had a tumor in her, and she couldn't urinate, you know, her bladder was just completely over full, her kidneys were backed up, and I even held her for a couple hours, and she slept for a little bit, but she was just looking at me, you know, looking around, and, thankfully, she didn't seem to be in any pain, but I can't imagine, maybe there's, maybe something about that when they're that young, they don't feel, or maybe it's just because the way she was, it was in her for so long, you know, I don't know, but she was pretty settled when she was first born.
Well, God bless her. That's wonderful. I hope she continues to do well, Shane. I talked to a young man, T4STR, something like that, down in Simpsonville today. And, he had some really, really unusual cancer and was telling me about it. It's not any fun at all, but I'm glad she's getting better. Kind of an uneventful day. I didn't even give the chickens any oats or corn today. It was just so dang cold out there. I didn't want to stay out there that long. I have to take a nitro to stay out there, so I didn't. You know, speaking of kidneys, well, they put that shunt in me, and it goes from my left kidney to my bladder. And the doctor said, "Well, you'll be going a lot." And boy, you hit that on the head. You drink a glass of water, and you just about to get rid of it pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, be careful where you're drinking, you know. You want to make sure you have easy access. I hope they get that taken care of for you pretty quick. I think you've got a surgery scheduled. Can't remember when it is. I did hear part of that conversation. I was working. Pretty busy day today. My pickups were heavy today, and a lot of trailer swapping back and forth, so I didn't get on the radio much, and it was on in the background if anybody was on, but it was kind of quiet. I heard you I think I heard Patrick in there, and maybe Dave for a little bit, but I was always when I wasn't able to chime in.
Okay. Yes, I heard Dave and Patrick for a little bit, but that's the first time I turned my radio on, and Patrick was out getting ready to go in the dark hole. So I didn't get back with him, and then this other young man come in there, and I really enjoyed visiting with him. He's just past the general last night. And I forget what David Patrick was talking about. Something, and Patrick had sent him a video of it, and that's about all I got of it. But I like to listen. But I just wasn't on much today, and it's been a blooming dreary day. Even to be out in it, I really sucked to imagine.
Where's that LK? Yeah, one of those days. Kind of make you grateful when the sun comes back out and it warms up. So we had a couple of nice days over the weekend. But, yeah, I think they were talking about a new Kenwood radio that's coming out. I'd kind of be like to find out a little bit more about that. There for a while, I wasn't sure if Kenwood was going to be making any more radios. I thought they were getting out. And, I heard that another station come in. He was a new ham KR4ACR, I believe. That's the second KR4 call I've heard, so we're moving right along in the alphabet.
He said he was at the same meeting with this gentleman, I think his name, I forget, Stephen? I'm not sure. But at any rate, it was enjoyable conversation. Yeah, I think another Japanese company bought Kenwood, JVC or somebody like that. But their 890 now is about 6-8 years old, and it's not dual band, and it's rather expensive. It's about $4,000. I noticed at this Orlando ham station they just had that they dropped it down another $300, but by the time you pay taxes on it, it'd still be $4,000. And you're buying 6 or 8 year old technology, so ICOM and Yaesu are stomping all over them. They need to get another good HF. I think Dave and Patrick are probably talking about UHF, VHF.
Little gap there in case Patrick was listening. Yeah, I think that's what it was, but I'd never caught. I just heard new radio, and well, he was talking about his 710, I believe, that you can link up with repeater book. So I'm assuming it's going to be VHF, UHF.
Yeah, TS2000, and it's basically everything. It's HF and UHF and VHF, I think. But I know it does VHF, I'm pretty sure. But it's, I always hated to buy one because you had all your eggs in one basket. But he's had really good luck out of it, and there's still a lot of them out there, and people like them.
For people to have that. I mean, I remember looking at them years ago. I mean, I know they're older radios, but they were good quality radios. I always kind of drooled over one of those. I know what you mean about having everything in one. If I could get a hold of one, I wouldn't mind it, but I also like having other radios too, because I've got that 857D, and it is HF, VHF, UHF, but you can only do one. You can only be on one band at a time, so you can't monitor both. You can't monitor VHF and do HF at the same time.
Well, I got this Kenwood, and it's TS590SG. That's the newer one. And really, the sensitivity and everything is right up there near the 890, and it's $1,600 radio compared to $4,600 radio. So you're not really gaining that much more. But unlike you, I like to have separate 12-volt DC power supplies. and not have it built into the radio, because if the power supply shoots traps, you lose everything.
That is true, but of course, even with my separate radios, I try to monitor, and if I'm really concentrating on one, then I have to turn the other one down because I get distracted. I want to listen to everything. Anyway, Tom, I'm pulling in the driveway, so I appreciate the ride along. Enjoyed hearing you today and speaking with you. Good evening to you and Miss Bernice, and we'll hope to talk to you again soon. And 0TR and 4ZLK.
Fox Mike on 180735, and he's from FE3DZ from Canada. I don't know if it's worth messing with or not. I might. He's running split. Take care, Shane, and we're very happy to hear that the granddaughter's doing good. God bless her. 73, this is N0TR clear.
We're BFI.
How you doing, buddy? Let me turn this back down over here.
Can you all talk, or I didn't ever key up on you or anything. I just wanted to say hello. Hope everything's going all right for you.
It made my shoulder hurt, seeing this mic so much. You feel sorry for me, Don?
Old age.
Have rare disease, A.G.E. How you guys been doing? I just had a piece of apple strudel Bernice made with some homemade ice cream, and I think I might go over and get me a ginger ale now to top it off. I don't know. It was hard to take, but somebody had to do it.
I wouldn't eat that stuff if I was you. You know why? To make you run rabbits and bark at the moon.
Anyways. used to love to run rabbits up there in Kansas. That was a ball.
Yeah, I went rabbit hunting when I was in the service out in Texas. Jackrabbits. We'd shoot a jackrabbit and bring it down there and give it to the guys hunting dogs, and they would. But you wouldn't believe what them dogs would do with that. We'd throw it over the fence to them, and good night alive. They'd tear that thing all to pieces.
Got to hunt them one time when we was pheasant hunting out in Osborne, Kansas, and it's up near the geographical center of the United States up in Nebraska, and I couldn't get them, and I had a heavy load, number sixes, for pheasants, and so this farmer, who was my dad's friend's dad, his farm, he said, "I got just what you need, Tom." And he gave me a long tom, and it was a single barrel, 12 gauge. I didn't have 3-inch mags back then, but I think that barrel was 36 inches long. It was ungodly. But you know, I think I even got some buckshot. I'm not sure about that. It's been too many years ago. I was just 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, somewhere along in that area. It was like 4 or 5 degrees and 10 or 15 mile an hour wind out there. I like to froze to death. But I never did get one of them jackrabbits with that shotgun.
I used to shoot at them out there in Abilene, Texas, and with a .22. If you missed him, you didn't get a second shot. Them boogers had a get up and go gear like you wouldn't believe.
Coming clear.
And the only other time that I got one, we were quail hunting, and my friend Bill had a new hunting dog, and we were over in Cherokee, Kansas, not too far from the high school, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. I come upon a railroad track. I come out of the timber, and there was a railroad track going down through there, abandoned. And up comes a jackrabbit. And I shot him, but I think I just broke his leg. And so I was trying to catch him, and my God, you couldn't catch him even at that. And Bill was a long ways off, or I wouldn't have shot it. Because you don't want a quail dog getting a hold of a rabbit. He's trying to break him and running him. And I'll be dang if that dog didn't run about a quarter or half a mile up to me and he caught that rabbit. But I couldn't help laughing, Don. Every time that rabbit would, he was a young dog, just pretty small. And every time that rabbit would jump, that dog was hanging on to his neck and he looked like a rag dog going up in the air.
Somebody else didn't want in there, but I was going to tell you something kind of funny. It happened to me too. When I was working out there on the base, I got on a night shift, and I'd go in. It was dark when I got there, and we didn't have no way to get down to the aircraft, which was in a docking station down there, and we had to walk. So we decided we'd just drive our car down there close to where it was at and climb over the fence. And we did. A couple of us, two or three of us, climbed over the fence. And the next time we went down through there, I was by myself, and I climbed over the fence. And every time we'd get over there, there'd be a bunch of jackrabbits, and we'd run them, and they'd take off and run off across the flat line and everywhere else. Only thing was, that night, it wasn't a jackrabbit.
It's not good. Well, you know, the guys told me stories about them up at Moffett Field up there, where Gary and I was stationed in KI-4DOS. And he told me that they let them hunt them once a year. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I never did hunt them. There was a tomato field there right next to the runways. But to the runway, there was a 10,000-foot runway there. 9 or 10, I think it was 10. But at any rate, when they turned those engines up on those jets, those rabbits go nuts. And so they wanted to get rid of them. I'd seen the rabbits, but I never seen them in that quantity or anything, but they become a hazard to air traffic landing, you know.
I had them there on the base. There wasn't a lot of them, though, because those engines... That's what I did. I was a jet engine mechanic, and I worked on the old B-47 and the B-52. But we did have some that get out on the flight line and running around like, you know, they'd get confused, and they was a hazard to, you didn't want to ever suck one of them into the intake of the engine, because if it did, all kind of things happen, and that meant we had to work even more harder.
What the Navy called it, FOD, found on deck, or foul deck. Anyways, yeah, they'd walk the deck every time and look for that before they'd start air ops. They suck some of that into jet intake, and it's bad. But I never thought about sucking the rabbits in, but the turboprops would sure make hamburger out of them, I know. But those things are, oh, I don't know, 140, 160 decibels. So rabbits here, they just go nuts. This is 0TR.
PFI. Yeah, well, it's getting on down here, and I've got something I got to go do here in a minute. In fact, that's what Linda told me. But anyway, but there was one time I was standing right beside one of the engine. I was standing ground that day, and we'd switch back and forth. One day I'd get in the cockpit, start them up and run them, and then he'd get in the next board, get up there, and he'd run them, and we'd just switch back and forth. But that day I was standing ground when he started it up, and it blew a little fuel out the exhaust, out the tailpipe, you know. It was a little rich when it come out, and it blew a little bit out on the ground, and it caught on fire. With a little old bitty fire, wasn't nothing. And there was a fire truck out there. He rolled off about 50 foot or more of water hose, and they were running around like a bunch of wild Indians. And got down there right where they could put it out, and the old boy that was working with us, he went over and took his cap and just popped it, and it put it out. them guys was, they weren't happy about that.
Yeah, I know. We had some stuff called purple cake powder they used on, they said you could use it on a wheel fire, but there really wasn't nothing to put out a wheel fire. It had magnesium in it, they said. But that or foam was the only two things you could put it out with. But GP5, that'd be like putting out diesel. That shouldn't be too hard.
Well, Tom, I'll let you go. I just wanted to holler at you. I hadn't talked to you in a day or two, and I thought I'd give you a shout there and tell you not to eat that apples, whatever it is, and ice cream and that stuff. I told you what it do to you, so. But you said you was already doing that, so don't make no difference, does it? Okay, I'll talk to you later, Tom. Always enjoyed it. KG4PFI, I'm clear.
Okay, Don. Yeah, it's getting up towards net time. Good night. KG4PFI and 0GR. Pleasure's all mine, Don. Good night.